In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. As we conclude our four-week series into our primary actions as a parish here at St. Francis, we conclude with our commitment to caring for our community and one another. In some ways, it's the logical place to end, given how that commitment flows from our worship of God, from our bringing others to know Him, and our growth in relationship with Him. We might be tempted to coast through this last topic. After all, for many of us, this is the easiest one to get our head around. And it's also something I'm glad to say here at St. Francis, it's something that many are especially gifted at. But even if we know what this action is, and we know how to do it, we may know that when we visit one another in the hospital, when we feed the hungry, when we bring meals to the sick, when we seek out the lonely, we are following through on this commitment to care for our community and one another. But still, I want us to turn our attention to an important question. The important question of why. Why do we do it? Out of all of the things that our church could do, why do we remain committed to caring for our community and one another? What's the right answer to every question in Sunday school? Jesus did it. We care because that's what Jesus did. We come together in this place almost every day of the week, and we read the stories of His gospel. And in those stories, our ears, they hear stories of Jesus caring. Jesus healing the blind, feeding the hungry, forgiving sins, blessing marriages, comforting the grieving, instituting a communion meal for His people. As we read these stories, our ears, they hear the stories of Jesus caring. So we go and do likewise. It's a good enough answer as far as it goes, but there's a bit more to it. I'm reminded of the story of Mike, a young man I knew in North Carolina. Mike's parents had moved away. The only person left in his nearby family was an aging grandmother he'd never really known. She lived just one town over. Her mind had slipped years before. The visits were most often polite, never exciting, and certainly never frequent. She seemed to be down to three stories, and you got told every time you came. But Mike decided of his own will that he needed to care for her. So each Friday at lunch, he'd go out and see his grandmother. He'd listen to those three stories. He'd eat his sack lunch. He'd plead with her to eat some of her food, and he'd go. I asked him why. Why does he do this? He'd never known her in her prime. His parents didn't even know he was going, much less expected of him. But he told me that he had realized he wanted to live in a world where human beings didn't just leave other human beings alone, didn't just think of them as something that takes up space. And he told me that he couldn't solve that problem yet, but that he was committed to solving it for at least one person. So he did. He said when we listen to the gospel stories of Jesus caring, we hear with our ears about His caring for others, but the faithful soul hears something different. Jesus isn't just caring for people because He's a nice guy. He's not just being polite, earning some good press for the later, more difficult parts of His message. He's not just giving His disciples something to fill their days with. No, in caring for everyone and sacrificially loving everyone, Jesus is pushing for a revolution. A revolution the kind of which Mike is imagining, springing forth from his care for an old woman he'd never really known. But a revolution that goes much farther and is much deeper than Mike could have ever imagined. A revolution in which God's faithful people act in confidence that Jesus has already won the victory over death and the devil, and we get to participate in His kingdom coming into the world before He brings it to fullness at the end of time. We care for our community because we are seeking to come alongside Jesus' own work in which He's putting the world to rights, in which He's pointing out that creation has more than enough for everyone, in which his people are confident that they participate in his triumph through making their world begin to look like what we are certain it will eventually look like at his return. And to take it a step further, when we care for one another, those gathered in this room, those in our parish, when we care for one another, we go another level. The church exists primarily to show the world that this kingdom, which we're talking about, that Jesus brought, that this kingdom actually already exists in a small foothold in his creation. If our caring for the world outside of the church is to point to a day when everyone will gather around Jesus' own banquet, the church lives in that day right now. If we're doing our job as followers of Jesus, then the church becomes a community gathered around the Lamb's own banquet and taking that provision into our relationships with one another such that this group of people begins to look like the harmony of God's own kingdom. Jesus was praying in a certain place. And after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray." After Jesus taught them the Lord's Prayer, he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend. You go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for another friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him.' I tell you," Jesus continues, "even though he will not get up and give him anything because he's a friend, he will, at least because of his persistence, get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you." Because of all the images Jesus is laying on top of one another here, this story with the friendly neighbor before this lesson about asking and seeking and knocking, we are tempted to hear that lesson as an example of how the faithful ought to be neighborly to one another. In short, how we ought to care for one another. Ask of a friend and it will be given to you. And it is a story about that. But should we remember that this story is actually Jesus' illustration of what it means to pray, if we should remember that it's asking and seeking and knocking at God's doors, then these actions are not just seeking care, but they are the actions of the faithful seeking and chasing after God. This double meaning, this double teaching about caring for others and relating to God, this parallel track is no accident. In caring for one another in our community, we not only participate in Jesus' work around the whole world, but we seek after him. We care for our community and for one another because in so doing, we are united with his work. And being united in his work, we are united with him. This fourth commitment of our parish life is central to who we are because it is central to how we pursue God. There's a lot more to say about the fall that's coming here at St. Francis. There are some special things coming our way, and I am convinced God is doing a mighty work in our parish. Stay tuned. There's a lot more to come. But as we conclude our Sundays in July, we would do well to refocus and recommit ourselves to what we've been talking about all month. We are a community of Christians committed to worshiping God, bringing others into a relationship with him, growing in our faith, and caring for our community and one another. I am certain that if we were to do these four things, God will continue to do his part and build a vibrant witness here in Chesterton of his kingdom breaking into the world. In the name of the living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.